Okay, so we'll begin this class just by naming our sins to God the Father.
好，我们现在开始我们的课程，让我们跟我们的天父先做反弹认罪的功课。
Father in heaven, we give thanks to you for this time that we have to study your word of truth.
感谢天父给我们时间，让我们来学习你的话语，并且了解真理。
We pray that as we focus on the message, that we can understand these things that you've provided for us so that we can grow in your plan.
感谢天父，让我们能够研读你的话语，而让我们更能清楚你对我们的计划。
And we give thanks for these things in Christ's name.
所有的感谢因着主耶稣基督之名。
Amen.
Amen。
Okay, so at the moment we're looking at the covenants of God and especially the covenants now that God gave to Abraham.
我们现在在谈的是呢，神跟我们所做的立约，而这个现在要讨论的是神在跟亚伯拉罕所立的约。
And last week we were looking at how Abraham is one of the most important people in all of human history.
我们上次课堂上里面就提到说，亚伯拉罕其实是在人类历史上大概最重要的一个人物。
If we look at the most important person, then that would have to be Jesus Christ.
而如果要讲最最最重要的角色，那当然是耶稣基督了。
Yeah, he is the reason for life, or he gave us life, actually, and he's our purpose for living.
而耶稣呢，是给我们生命的人，同时他是也是我们要活着、有生命所要追寻的人。
And the person of Jesus Christ, the God-man that we talk about, he's our savior and he's our king, and through his word we can have eternal life.
而耶稣呢，一个以人神合体的一个角色呢，他实在经由他是我们的拯救者，同时也是我们的国王，因为他才有了永生。
And what we now recognize as being the international calendar is based around his birth. You know, we're in the year 2021, and that date actually stems from when they sort of estimated the birth year of Jesus Christ.
而我们现在所用的西历，就是我们的2021年，今年的这个西历呢，也是经由耶稣的诞生，我们预测他诞生的那一年开始算起。
Now, of course, there are many other calendars in the world. Like the Muslims have their calendar, and the Buddhists have theirs, and even Taiwan has their own calendar, and the Jews, of course. But as an international calendar, the year 2021 is recognized as sort of being the year that everybody is familiar with.
当然，这个世上有非常多不同的日历。那比如说，中国人也有农历，然后穆斯林也有他们穆斯林的这个年历，那犹太人也有他们犹太人的年历。哦，today is the New Year Day for Jewish calendar 5782.
Today's the New Year Day? Are
Yes,
you sure about
very sure. Actually, yesterday night. The sunset. We went to the Yang Ming Mountain to blow the horn.
that? Okay. Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, I can send you the one of the photo. It's really beautiful there.
Okay. Yeah, so even now there's actually movements underway. I was talking about this with some other foreigners the other day. And talking about how people want to reject this idea of we have the calendar BC, which means before Christ, and AD, which means Anno Domini, the year of our Lord. And they want to remove this from calendars because they don't want to recognize Jesus Christ.
但最近呢，还有一些人在想要推动一个计划，就是希望把这个 BC 跟 AC，就是在耶稣诞生前的日子叫做 BC 哈，然后在耶稣诞生后的日子叫 After Christ 是 AD，right？
AD means it's short for Anno Domini, which is Latin, which means the year of our Lord.
所以 AD 这个字呢，其实是拉丁文，它就是说耶稣基督 就是主诞生的那个时间，所以它是从那一年 AD 就是从那时候算起的。
Yeah, and I think they're trying to change it, and you do see it occasionally with BCE, which actually means before the current era or something, and then CE, which means current eras, but they try to remove the word Jesus Christ out of that.
所以你有时候会可能看到人家写 BCE 呢，它基本上就是一个要把这个 C 的意思改掉，不要再是跟 Christ 有关哈，是另外一个意思。
But we shouldn't be surprised by those kind of ideas because we live in the devil's world and the devil is trying to remove the importance of Jesus Christ.
那我们当然也不必觉得惊讶，为什么人家要这样做？因为我们其实生活在一个撒旦掌权的世界，那撒旦当然不希望大家去记得或者是纪念耶稣基督。
Yeah, but whether other people accept or reject the idea, we know. Very clearly, that Jesus Christ is the most important person in history.
不论别人呢，他是想要重视，或者是想要拒绝耶稣基督的这个角色，要接受或拒绝的，我们都知道耶稣基督是绝对是在人类的历史上最重要的一个人物。
And then, as far as other important people, like people that had real meaning in God's plan, of course, we need to go to the Bible, and we can look at the biblical heroes, those people that had a real impact on human history.
除了耶稣基督之外，我们也看到很多在圣经上面里面的人物，都是对整个的人类历史是非常具有影响力的重要人物。
Now, there's a lot of very famous people in the world, of course, and people that have a lot of impact on human history, but they're only really important if they are positive to God's plan and have a positive influence regarding God's plan.
但是在这么多重要的历史人物中呢，对我们的圣经而言，最重要的绝对是那些对于神、对我们的神耶和华跟耶稣基督都有一个所谓正向的自由意志的，也就是说，他们对神的计划是属于正向、愿意顺服的。
And there's a lot of very famous people in history, and they could be like military leaders or political leaders, or they could be actors or business people and have very big names, of course. But unless they were guiding people to Jesus Christ or, you know, somehow reflecting God in their lives, then these people are meaningless.
所以，即使呢，在历史上有各种经济、军事、政治方面的一些有名的人物，他们对历史都有很大的影响。但是如果这些人他们不是要引导我们更认识神，或者是能够反映神的一些价值观的话，那这些重要的名字、有影响的名字，对我们来讲都是无意义的。
Now, of course, these people have their role in human history, and God has used people. Now, we look at Alexander the Great, for example. He was an unbeliever, but through him, we have the spread of the Greek language throughout the region of the old world at the time of Jesus Christ.
就像在历史上面很重要一个人物亚历山大哈，希腊的亚历山大大帝，他让希腊的文化甚至是语言文字影响了整个西方的这个世界，也他所在的那个时代也因为他的影响力，让耶稣基督他在对人的传道得以用希腊文的方式能够在各地传播。
See, Alexander the Great was actually from Macedonia, and they spoke a sort of a kind of a Greek. But as he was building his army, there were people speaking all different kinds of like a Greek language and other languages as well. But eventually, he had to bring all these people together to speak a common language. And so from this, we get what's called the Koine Greek. That's the common Greek language. And that's what we have in the Bible.
因为在亚历山大帝的那个时代啊，其实即使是在他的军队中，都有来自各个不同地方的希腊人，他们讲的话都有各地的方言，所以用的都是不同的语言。所以亚历山大大帝是那个真正把希腊文统一啊，有一个就好像秦始皇把中国文字统一一样，他统一了希腊的语言的一个重要的角色。
So Alexander the Great lived 300 years before Jesus Christ, And because of the influence he had on language, then we have the Koine Greek.
亚历山大帝呢，他其实是在耶稣诞生前300年前就诞生了，也因为他的影响力，使得这个希腊的语言和文字变成了是在整个欧洲历史上，在当时是最具有影响力的语言文字。那也因此呢，在当时，当耶稣诞生，还有他的门徒一起呢，在当时全部都是在用希腊文在传福音的。
So here we have this man, and as far as we know, he was an unbeliever. So he's probably in torments at the moment. And as far as God's plan goes, he was nothing. He was like a vapor trail. Remember, we had the word for the smoke? His life was like smoke. It was all meaningless. But God used him to create and to spread this language, which was very important for evangelizing and for teaching doctrine around the world.
对于神来讲，亚历山大大帝呢，其实他不是一个相信神的人，他不是一个相信耶和华或耶稣基督的人，因为耶稣基督还没有诞生啊，那他不相信耶和华。但是呢，他在那个时代，因为语言的统一，神就用了他来做语言统一的这件事情。可是，在整个圣经里面，亚历山大大帝其实是就像一阵轻飘的烟雾一样，对神来讲，他的出现也就是那一下就过去了。但是，神还是可以用一个不相信神的人来帮助他后面的福音的传递，还有整个圣经的教导。
Another example we have in our time is now we're doing these lessons on Zoom and we're using software from Microsoft. I think probably more than 50% of the people in the world are using Microsoft software of some sort.
而就像我们现在这个时代啊，我们都在用电脑，所以甚至可能全世界有超过50%的人都是用微软的这些软体在使用电脑系统。
Well, if we're not using Microsoft software, then the applications that we're using Zoom for this lesson, for example, the people that developed different software that we need, that they have probably had to use Microsoft software at some stage as part of their working.
Like a
Yeah, as a
base.
basis, that's right. Computers, and really the modern computers, if it wasn't, and I'm talking about Bill Gates here, if it wasn't for Bill Gates and people like him, we wouldn't be able to do what we can do now.
就像我们现在在用电脑呢，一般的来讲，我们的作业系统应该都是微软他们所发展出来的系统。所以大家就算我们用的 Zoom 或者是这些其他的各种软体，它也都是建构在微软的电脑的作业系统之上。
So, looking at this particular person, Bill Gates, he's very influential in our time regarding technology and communication.
所以呢，像微软的创办人。比尔盖茨在我们这个现代的历史上，绝对是一个最举足轻重、最重要的一个人物之一。
And he's obviously one of the wealthiest people in the world. I think for a while he had the number one spot as the wealthiest person in the world.
他也绝对是很多年，他都曾经是整个世界上最有钱的一个人。
But as far as I know, and he's very influential, but he's a very evil man because he likes to emphasize things like globalization, eugenetics. I think he's trying to create this perfect race of people, and he has a lot of very dangerous ideas regarding humanity.
但是呢，他这么具有影响力的一个人呢，对于我们的基督徒的这个价值观来讲，他其实是一个非常邪恶的人哦，因为他在他的价值观里面，他在强调的是一个全球化，他强调这种所谓新的基因，就是要选择最好的基因的人种的这个概念啊，都是非常非常邪恶的一个概念。
Yeah, I've seen some articles, and I don't want to go into too much, but it looks like he's an advocate, like he supports sort of genetic engineering and things like that, and especially in regards to the COVID virus.
就是从一些资料里面显示啊，他也是非常的赞成这个所谓的优良品种的人类的这种角度，包括这次的冠状病毒的一些措施，很多都是跟他的人类品种要优良化的概念是有关的。
But anyway, he has a huge influence around the world. But in terms of God's plan, he's worth nothing, especially if he's never believed in Jesus Christ. He's going to spend eternity in the lake of fire.
所以他这么样的有影响力的一个人，却对神的计划而言呢，是一个他完全是不相信，而且甚至是在破坏神的计划的人来讲，他真的是将来就是一定会被送到火湖去被烧死的那种角色，就他的灵是不会被神所接纳的，而且他也真的没有相信神，他不是基督徒。
So again, you know, we can look at some very influential, very powerful people in history. And some people might say they're very important, but really we don't look at these people as being important in terms of God's plan.
所以呢，在这个所谓的我们要真正去研读的那些历史人物呢，是有影响力，而且是对神的计划有影响力的人。
Yeah, so when I talk about Abraham as one of the most important people in history, obviously we're talking about his influence in God's plan and his influence that he's had for people to believe in Jesus Christ and to be saved.
所以我们当我们讲这个亚伯拉罕，他是在人类历史上最重要的、最具影响力的人的这个说法，其实是针对他其实是在帮助神的计划在人类的历史中能够有一个向前进的一个计划，是正向的一个影响力的人物，所以我们称亚伯拉罕是在人类历史上最重要的人物之一。
In the last lesson I was talking about how Abraham is the father of what they call the Abrahamic religions or Abrahamic religions,And that's from where we get the Jewish religion, we have Christianity, and then we have Islam as well.
上次课程也提到呢，亚伯拉罕呢，他其实呢是在整个世界的宗教系统里面呢，他就带领了三个宗教系统都跟他直接有关。第一个就是犹太教，第二就是伊斯兰教，还有就是我们的基督教。
There would be very few people in the world that have actually heard about Abraham and know who he is to some extent.
所以在世上几乎应该没有什么人不认识亚伯拉罕吧，因为这三个宗教的影响力是很大的，这三个宗教的这个信徒加起来就非常大的比例，所以他们都是认亚伯拉罕为他们的祖先。
Yeah, and not just Abraham, but also his son, we have Isaac.Yeah, Abraham, Isaac, and then Jacob as well. These three people are called the patriarchs of the faith. And many times Jesus Christ is talking about the God of Israel was the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob.
而不只是亚伯拉罕，包括他的儿子以撒，还有他的孙子雅各，他们都是在整个历史上最重要的信徒。然后他们的子子孙孙才建构了这我们犹太教跟基督教。
Okay, and we'll have a look at some of those verses later, because that's a really important statement to make. Talking about the God of Israel is the God of Abraham, Isaac and Jacob. It's sort of like a confirmation that they were the ones to whom God gave the covenant, like we see this covenants in scripture. And these were the people that God confirmed the covenant to.
而在旧约里面，我们也经常都看到耶和华自称自己为亚伯拉罕的神、以撒的神、雅各的神，所以他其实在在的去确认这些人是耶和华与人，就是与这三个三代的人立约，他不断的去确认他跟我们人类所立的约都是经由这三个人的名字而带出来的。
And Abraham, he's sort of given the title, the father of the faith, because he showed immense faith, a great faith, because he was the first person in human history, it seems, first person who was willing to offer up his son, knowing that God could bring him back from the dead.
而在人类历史上呢，也只有亚伯拉罕，他可以理解他的人类的罪，而愿意将他的儿子献祭，然后作为一个赎罪的一个动作。而他为什么可以做到这样，是因为他有足够的信心相信神是会让他的儿子可以重生。
Now I should actually mention at this stage that you know, some people might get confused, because there is a thing, and it's even mentioned in the Bible, about child sacrifice, and that is where people would take children and sometimes even their own children, and they would offer them up to foreign gods, so to false gods and gods of fire.
在讲到这件事情，就是亚伯拉罕献祭，他献以撒的这个故事的时候，有的时候大家会误会哈，就想说，哎，因为这个旧约里面也常提到有一些人，他们去跟假神，就是拜其他的偶像的时候，会有所谓献婴儿、献孩子的血祭这种事情。那大家不要把这两件事情混为一谈。
And we do see this, like in South America, I think with the Incan people, the Incan tribes, they've found evidence of how children, young children and virgins, they like to use virgins because they're supposed to be pure, and they've been offered up to gods as the ultimate sacrifice that they could offer up to their false gods. Yeah, the Indians, and especially in South America, I think they've found a lot of evidence, the Incan and Aztecs.
所以呢，我们也可以在很多地方的原住民，包括在美国的印第安人，或者是中南美洲的这些原住民哈，他们也都有所谓用婴儿献血祭的这种对假神、对他们的偶像献祭，用婴儿去献祭的这些事情。
And you even see this in the Bible. The Jewish people, when they were being surrounded by the king of Babylon, there was a siege on Babylon, and they were offering up their own children because they were being disciplined by God, but they were offering up their own children to the god of fire. That was Molech, because they were scared. They were totally scared, and they'd forgotten Jehovah. And now they're offering up their children to false gods, thinking that maybe their false gods can help them.
然后在旧约里也有记载，哈，就是当那个巴比伦他们把犹太以色列人要整个都打败了，哈，然后他们要把他们的俘虏了，那犹太人在那个时候非常害怕，害怕到呢，他们就忘记了他们的耶和华神，而反而是去对一些他们旁边的种的这些邻近的种族所拜的那些假神、那些偶像。去献他们自己的孩子的血祭，啊，有这样子的记载。
Now that's obviously very different to the sacrifice that he wasn't demanding, but the sacrifice that Abraham was willing to offer up to God, his own son.
而这个呢，跟这个亚伯拉罕呢，他愿意将他的儿子献给神，要想要用以撒献祭的这个事情呢，其实是很不一样的。
Because when these people in these other religions or the Jewish people offering their children to the fire god, when they were doing that was because of fear. And they were hoping, they thought maybe they'd scared the gods, and they were hoping that their gods would save them from their tribulation, from disaster.
因为呢，那些犹太人呢，要把他们的孩子献血祭给那些假神、那些偶像呢，他其实是基于一个害怕，是一个恐惧啊，恐惧他们所要面临的苦难，所以他们以为用这样子的一个纯洁的婴儿的献祭，可以让他们可以免于苦难。
Which is very different from Abraham, because when he offered up Isaac, or when he was willing to offer up Isaac, he was looking to the resurrection, knowing that God could raise him up, raise Isaac up from the dead, because that's what God was going to do for all who believed in the Savior. And Abraham believed in the power of God to bring Isaac up from the dead.
而亚伯拉罕献祭以撒呢，却是充满了对神的爱以及顺服，所以他也相信是这个神说：“哎，你要将以撒献祭给我。”他相信的是神是有这样的能力，就是接受献祭之后呢，还会让以撒可以回复生命。
But actually, Hebrews chapter 11 tells us Abraham's thinking.
所以我们可以看一下希伯来书的11章17节，你就可以了解亚伯拉罕他到底在想，当他
Yes.
献祭。
So when you look at verse Hebrews 11, let's say, we can start at verse 17. You have to go down to verse 19.
我们可以从这个希伯来书11章的17节一直看到19节。
Okay, but we'll just read through these verse by verse, and then you can see the idea about what Abraham was thinking. By faith, Abraham, being tested, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promises offered up by his only begotten son. It sort of continues into the next verse, actually. What I'll do, in fact, I'll read all three verses together in English, and then you can read them all in Chinese.
Okay.
Okay, so he had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac your seed shall be called, concluding that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from where he received him in a figure. Okay, so now you can read that in Chinese.
希伯来书11:17，亚伯拉罕因着信被实验的时候呢，就把以撒献上，这便是那欢喜领受应许的，将自己独生的儿子献上。论到这儿子，曾有话说，从以撒生的才要称为你的后。他以为神还能叫人从死里复活。他也仿佛从死中得回他的儿子来。
Now it's really interesting in this verse here. In English, they say that Abraham was believing he could receive him in a figure, but the word "in a figure" here is actually the Greek word parabole. You can see it up here, parabole, and we get the word parable from this.
What does that mean,
A
horrible?
parable means when you have a comparison, you're comparing one thing to another, because he's comparing it to Jesus Christ. See. Abraham is looking at the figure of Jesus Christ in the future. He knows that the Savior is going to be resurrected. And this is a parable, which means it's a comparison or to show. It's like a teaching aid. Jesus Christ was always teaching in parables. I don't know if you come across that word when you're reading the English Bible
But
sometimes.
who is talking about this?
Well, this is in Abraham's thinking. He knows that in the future that Jesus Christ is going to be raised up from the dead.
Sorry, who wrote this book?
This is Hebrew, so we don't know the writer, but this happened after Jesus Christ, of course.
And who thinks that resurrections is trying to compare with Jesus Christ? Who thinks so?
Well, the writer of Hebrews, God understands Abraham's thinking, but God knows that God could raise Isaac up from the dead, just like God is going to raise the Savior up from the dead.
所以在这个地方其实我们读这个希伯来书的这一段的时候，要理解它其实因为我们不知道希伯来书真实的作者是谁，但他是在记录一件事情，就是当亚伯拉罕去献以撒的时候，他相信这个献以撒的这个动作之后呢，以撒是会再重生的，所以他就是预表了后来的耶稣基督。他上十字架，等于是以他自己为作为神的羔羊被献上之后，3天后他会重生一样。
Now, this word parabole in the Greek, it's very important. And actually, it appears many times in scripture because, like, Jesus was always teaching in parables. So, a parable means like you're comparing one thing to another.
所以呢，这边在希腊文所用的是叫 parabola，英文是 parabola，就 parable 就是一个是 comparison 意思，它是一个预表，就是一个比喻性的方式来说这个事。
And for example, Jesus Christ is said to be the Lamb of God. So they use a lamb to teach about Jesus Christ. That's like a parable.
就像耶稣基督是被誉为一只羔羊。那这个就是用一个比喻的方法来描述耶稣基督跟羔羊的关系。
Yeah, or he might teach like the kingdom of God is like the farmer that went out into the field and was planting seeds.
那耶稣呢，他也把这个神国呢，把它比喻成一个禾场，就是你可以去种植、要栽种的一个禾场。
Yeah, we go to Luke chapter 15, I think it is. Can you see on the screen at the moment where I've got the Bible verse, the parable of the lost coin? And this is Luke 15. So, like, it starts off in Luke 15 here.
路加福音的15:8，里面呢也 就在有一个比喻，还有一个比喻的一个故事，讲到一个富人失去了一个十块钱的铜板。他有十块钱的铜板，他如果失落一颗，岂不点上灯，打扫房子，细细的找都要找到吗？这就是一个女性的故事。
And then on the next one, I think if you go down into Luke 15:10, and then he talks about the parable of the two sons. You have this man with two sons.
然后呢，耶稣也讲过这个两个儿子的故事。
So these are called parables.
这些都是耶稣的预表，就是他讲预言故事的方式来做教导。
So that's why in Hebrews chapter 11, when it's talking about Abraham, it uses the word parable. So back to Hebrews 11, just so now that you understand the meaning of the word parable, now when we look at Hebrews 11:19, and you see the word, what it really means.
现在再回去看希伯来书十一章十九节，我们就比较了解说这些字也都是用一个比喻的方法来让大家了解这个故事。
So here we have a comparison, like Abraham and Isaac is being compared to God the Father and God the Son.
所以亚伯拉罕跟他以撒，其实呢，也就是在要预表的是天父跟圣子。
See, Abraham offered up his son, just like God offered up his son on the cross.
所以呢，亚伯拉罕呢去献祭他以撒，就跟天父。他送他的儿子来到人间，然后让他死在十字架上，是同样的一个预表。
And we know that Abraham understood about the resurrection, about coming up to life, because this verse tells us. He said that Abraham did this. He sacrificed his son, knowing that God could bring him up from the dead.
所以呢，亚伯拉罕他其实是知道的，就像天父他会送耶稣来上十字架而死一样，亚伯拉罕是知道他如果让他献了儿子，献祭之后，献了以撒之后，以撒是会重生的。
And so obviously Abraham had received a prophecy, the Lord had come to him and told him, if you sacrifice your son, just like I will sacrifice my son, Jesus Christ, then your son Isaac will be raised up, just like Jesus will be raised up.
所以呢，很显然的是呢，亚伯拉罕当时听到耶和华跟他讲，就是天父跟他讲说，你要献你的儿子，你要做这个献祭。那相信呢，这个先知性的预言也有告诉亚伯拉罕说，你的儿子被献祭后是依然会重生的，就很像耶稣在当时告诉门徒，他会死在十字架上，但是他三天后会复活，是一样的事情。
And remember also, we had before Abraham and Isaac went up the mountain. If you go back to Genesis and you read about that story, and you know that Abraham said to the servants, he said, you wait here, and then we'll go up the mountain and we'll worship God, and then we will come back.
如果你回去看这个创世纪里面，亚伯拉罕献以撒的这一段的故事呢，你会看到很清楚，就是他们本来是三个人，就是除了亚伯拉罕以撒之外，还有一位仆人是一起要去山上，然后他请仆人在山下等，然后呢，他说你在这边等，我们等会儿会回来，所以他是很清楚他们两个要一起回来，就是他跟以撒是会一起回来的。
Okay, so here we see Abraham had great faith. He'd studied the word of God. Somebody had been teaching him about these things, and probably an angel or the Lord himself, or even had been hearing it from other people somehow. So he believed these things, and now this is the application. He's made a decision. I'm going to offer up my son.
所以呢，我们就理解了亚伯拉罕是研读了神的话语，不论是用听的或者是读的，就是他知道有先知。这个亚伯拉罕告诉他要献他的儿子为活祭，但是他也一样充满了信心，相信神告诉他的，就是他的儿子被献祭后依然会复活。
And he was the first person in human history that had this faith.
而亚伯拉罕呢，就被定确认了他是在人类史上有最大信心的一个基督徒。
Okay, so that's why God has given Abraham this privilege of being the first of the Jewish race.
也因为亚伯拉罕的信心，神就给了亚伯拉罕最重要的一个位置，就是在整个犹太族里面的能够带着信心啊，就我们称之为信心之父，来带领犹太人信主。
Okay, now when he gives this covenant to Abraham, now he's going to give him a covenant, or there's actually a three-part covenant to Abraham, and it's going to be divided into the land covenant. You have a covenant regarding the people, the Jewish people, and then there's a covenant regarding the eternal kingdom and the eternal life.
所以呢，在这里呢，神与亚伯拉罕的立约呢，它就分成了三个部分，一个是土地，一个是百姓、人民，一个是永恒的生命。
Now, I just noticed earlier today that when the translation here, and you can see on the screen here, got the land covenant, and you've got in the Chinese, it's like Bali Shi Dan Renda.
巴勒斯坦人。
Yeah, but actually, you have to take out the word run because we call it the Palestinian covenant, but it's not relating to the Palestinian people.
It's not related to Palestinian people. It's about the land
It's
only.
about the land which was called Palestine.
Right. So that's why I was so confused last time.
Ah, okay.
Why the land is related to the Palestinian people?
Yeah, well, I think with the translation, because actually in English, the Palestinian, we call it the Palestinian covenant, but we're not talking about the people, we're talking about the land of Palestine. It's just the way that we make the adjective. And I think when the person was translating, they looked up the word Palestinian, and then a Palestinian means Balistan Randa. Yeah, sorry about the confusion.
So you have to take out that ren,
Okay,
not
thank you. Yeah, I thought so.
而这个土地呢，是指的是巴勒斯坦那个区域的土地。
Their name Palestine, I think actually it comes from the word Philistines. Which is the Greek Sea Peoples, and Philistines were living in the land for a long, long time.
Is that called the迦南？
I'm not sure, but remember when the Jewish people were in the land right back at the time of the Judges? So when you had people like Gideon, and you had people like Samuel, and even David in the land, and they were often, Goliath, the giant Goliath, but he was a Philistine.
Baby 是人，that's the major land, especially the major city. When the Yeshua tried to take over,
Was that the Philistines? They were
yeah,
part of those people, I think, but they were Canaanites. We called them the Canaanites. But the
I think
Philistines were also in the land at that time.
right,
Yeah, and they were great enemies of Israel.
right.
And so later on, when the Romans came in, they used the word Philistine, but they changed it to Palestine.
Oh, Roman changed the name
That's
from
right.
Philistine to
And
Palestine.
they called the whole land. Sometimes they would call the land the Palestine or the land of Palestine, I guess.
所以刚才听在解释，就是巴勒斯坦这个地方的名字呢，其实那个区域原本就是那个腓力士人他们所在的区域，那只是后来罗马人把腓力士人的那个区域呢，把它改名叫巴勒斯坦。
Yeah, now the Palestinians that you have now in Palestine, like the Gaza Strip, and then you have the area next to Israel, the West Bank, these people, they don't belong in the land. Apparently, they're the old Arab tribes that used to wander around, the Bedouins.
而现在我们所知道的，就是在加萨走廊那边所住的巴勒斯坦人，他们其实那个加萨走廊那一块地呢，其实是不属于巴勒斯坦人的，他们只是有点像现在那个巴勒斯坦人，很像游牧民族一样，他们就没有自己真正的土地。
But they try to claim that they have a long history in the land, but they don't.
他们呢，这些巴勒斯坦人呢，一直的在跟这个世界各地国家，尤其是对联合国声明，他们是有那样子的，是有那一块地的权利的，但是实际上并没有。
When you look at history, you can never find any historical account of the Palestinian people, like these people, before 1948, which was when the United Nations set up Israel.
Before 1948, there were no land for them.
Well, there was no people called the Palestinian people.
Oh, really?
No, because you had people living in the land, but they would be like, they have Bedouins and even a lot of Israel, a lot of Jewish people, and you have Arabs, and you would have different tribes of people, but there's really no people that you would call the Palestinian people.
而实际上，在1948年以色列建国之前，其实根本就没有巴勒斯坦人这样的一个血统的人，他们是到1948年才有一些人。自称自己是巴勒斯坦人，
There's no Palestinian language.
而且呢，也没有所谓的巴勒斯坦语言，就他们的
No.
人讲的都是别的语言。So what do they speak？
They speak Arabic mainly.
所以现在所谓的啊，巴勒斯坦人，他们讲的都是阿拉伯话。
And they don't have like a culture where they can look back where there's any books written about them, and there's no architecture, there's no archaeology which talks about these people.
而在整个现在的这些巴勒斯坦人，他们几乎没有任何的文化血统上面的一个定位，说是有这种巴勒斯坦人，这个都没有的。
Yeah. They can't look back 100 years ago and say this was a famous Palestinian person from our people. Yeah, they just don't exist.
如果你说在100年前，你要去找到一个所谓什么有名的巴勒斯坦人，他自称为巴勒斯坦人，是找不到的，没有这样的人。
Yeah, so the Palestinian people, this concept was actually made up in 1948 because you did have Arab people being displaced, or they were from different tribes. And then somebody got the idea that we'll put these people together and we'll call them Palestinians.
所以实际上呢，在1948年的时候发生的事情，就是因为以色列要建国了，那些在巴勒斯坦那个地区的一些阿拉伯人，他们根本是来自不同阿拉伯的这个族群哈，因为阿拉伯也有分好像12个族，所以他们都来自不同的阿拉伯族，但他因为他们那时候住在加沙走廊那边，他们就把自称为自己是巴勒斯坦人。
But you can't actually find any records of a Palestinian people. There's no real group that goes back before modern Israel. You just don't have them. They don't exist.
So it's actually more like a political form.
Exactly.
所以实际上，巴勒斯坦人的这个组成完全是一个政治性的组成哈，在整个历史上是找不到这样的人。
But anyway, so when we talk about the land, and it can be a bit confusing, but we call it the Palestinian covenant because, or the land covenant to Abraham, because it relates to what the Romans, going back to the time of the Romans, used to call the land of Palestine.
所以呢，我们在这边讲说，神跟亚伯拉罕立的3个约里面，这个第一个约土地的约呢，被称为巴勒斯坦的土地。啊，这是神要应许给亚伯拉罕的应许之地。
Yeah, and actually, I think that's why you talk about this political movement. I think that's why they want to use the word Palestinian because they can look at the records going way back and say, well, yeah, the Romans called it Palestine. And so if we call ourselves Palestine, we can try to link up a very old history going back to the time of the Romans.
所以呢，他们这些现在所谓自称为巴勒斯坦人的人呢，他们就觉得，他如果把他自称为巴勒斯坦人的话，他就可以好像把他们的历史拉到那个罗马帝国时期，称呼这个土地为巴勒斯坦土地的这个概念，就可以好像假借这个土地之名来增加他们这群人跟这个土地之间有的一个连结关系。
Yeah, it's a bit like the gays and the lesbians. They stole the rainbow from Noah. You know, we have the rainbow as a covenant between God and Noah. And then the gay people said, oh, we'll take that, thank you very much. And now they use the rainbow.
就好像那个同性恋，他们现在就拿了这个彩虹的这个符号来当做是同性恋的一个符号，但实际上彩虹是神应许给我们人类说将让我们人类将来永不灭亡的一个符号，却被假借的利用了。
But just to show you what the land covenant was, and you can go back to this is Genesis chapter 13, verses 14 and 16, and Genesis chapter 15, verse 18.
所以有关这个应许之地的这个章节，大家可以回头再去看一下《创世纪》十三章十十四节到十六节，然后以及十五章的十八节。
And God actually mentions the land that He is going to give to Abraham.
所以呢，在这些章节里面呢，神是很明确的告诉了亚伯拉罕，他会把这块地给了他们。
Actually, well, I say gives to Abraham, but obviously Abraham and his descendants as well.
也就是给了亚伯拉罕以及他的后裔。
Okay, now the way that God mentions it, he says, I'll give you the land all the way from the Euphrates River. So this is this line across the top of the map you can see now.
所以在这个地图上就可以看到这个黑线所画的这个区域就是神给亚伯拉罕的应许之地。
So this is the land covenant. It's separate from the promise about Jerusalem.
这一个黑线所框的区域呢，就是所谓的应许之地，要送给亚伯拉罕跟他的后裔。
And the land dimensions, as God said, it goes all the way from the Euphrates River down to the Nile River. And in the Bible, I think it says the main river in Egypt or something like that. So the line over to the west here, this is the Nile River.
这个区域的左边呢，就是尼罗河，右边的那条黑线就是幼发拉底河。
Now, on this map here, and I don't think it's very accurate, but they put a line right across from where the Nile River begins. So down here in the south of Egypt, that's where the Nile River begins.
这个横向的线呢，它是等于是从这个尼罗河的发源地的那个点，一直拉到右边去，是幼发拉底河的起源的点。
Yeah, and they just drew a line straight across, but I think that it's probably more likely that God will give them all of the land of Saudi Arabia. So all of this peninsula here, the Arabian Peninsula, I think that would make sense that he's going to give all of this to Abraham. Anyway, it's 3:30 now, so we have to finish off. So we'll just stop there and then we'll say a prayer. And then on Saturday, I'll see if I can get some more information about this and then we'll continue.
That would be great.
Excellent. Okay. So thank you, God, for the opportunity that we've had to study your word.
感谢天父，我们今天能够研读你的话语。
And we pray that for any information that we're lacking or missing, that you can fill in the information so we can have a clearer understanding of the events of the future.
感谢天父也能够将我们现在还不足的讯息可以再教导我们，让我们能够更清楚未来将发生的事。
But also understand the thinking of Abraham as well, because we too need to have a very strong faith, just like Abraham had.
而我们也希望能够得到像亚伯拉罕一样大的信心。
And so we give thanks for these things in Christ's name.
所有的感谢因着主耶稣基督之名。
Amen.
Amen.